Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on His Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Good brother, how are you?
I am good today. And yourself?
I'm good. And as we were discussing a moment ago, it's going to be a nice day, nice warm day. And God is still on the throne.
He is in control now.
Yeah. He said back in the Old Testament, back about the very beginning, as Clyde Roy Pack likes to tell us, that where baseball began.
Where baseball began.
Yeah, you remember, don't you?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in the beginning.
In the beginning.
Back in the beginning, God said, as long as time lasts, seed time and harvest, there'll be cold, there'll be summer, there'll be, all these seasons are going to change. And so we see the beauty of this time of year.
Yep, absolutely.
All the trees, most all the trees blooming out now are just so spectacular, the color of them.
Always beautiful. Reminds me of new life.
Yeah,
we
sure
does. We have new life.
Sure. Easter time, resurrection time is a reminder of that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We were
absolutely
looking at some trees the other day and little shrubs, I guess, crepe myrtle trees, if you know what those are. They really don't start blooming or blossoming out until about the 1st of June. But yesterday saw some little green leaves on the top of them. So they've looked dead now for months.
Yeah.
But there's life in there.
Well, and the Bible tells us that the heavens and the earth declares the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So, declare the glory of God. You're right.
So, you know, when you see those things or childbirth, I mean, there's a lot of things we may get used to. Oh, they're going to bloom out and they bloom. Really stop and think about just what a miracle it is.
It is a miracle of God.
It didn't come from an explosion.
No. So, no, it did not.
It amazes me, and I have to stop because that's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, what if someone wanted to call us and pick up right there and begin a conversation about that?
They could do that at 789-0318, 789-0318, or you could email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com, or you have another option.
Yeah, folks could text us or give us a call at 606 out of the area, 367-0137. And in the area, of course, no area code is needed, 367-0137. And we're in business, brother.
And we're hoping, we're checking into maybe doing a Facebook page and doing some live things on that.
Yeah.
So more news about that in the future. So for all you social media people out there, you could post your questions and stuff on our page when we get it up and going, hopefully.
Yeah. I'm sure glad you understand that lingo and know all about that. Because I don't. And so what I'll do is just continue doing what I do.
And is that tweeting?
I have a Twitter account, but I really don't tweet unless something really interesting that I've read, or if it's maybe a birthday wish or something like that, anniversary wish to a couple.
Yeah.
But just to get on there and... now, there's some meaningful things on there, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of nonsense, too.
Yeah.
And so I don't have the time for that.
Yeah. Okay. And you've got a special saying about nonsense, too.
I do. I try to stay away from it. I take the revealed sense, use my common sense and do away with the nonsense.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So 7890318. You could call us here locally. Email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. Give us a call. If you'd like to text me, you could do that now. If you want to call me later after we go off the air, you could do that as well. 367-0137. Timotheus, learned just recently.
0318, by the way.
What did I say?
I think you said, put, change the one around. Yeah.
0137. That's my.
Oh, 0137. Yeah, your phone.
Cell phone number, yeah.
Okay. Wake up, Tim.
Not sure what I said. That's been at least 10 seconds ago.
You said the right thing. I was thinking about our other phone number.
You know, the Boy Scouts of America, they are somewhat similar, aren't they? The Boy Scouts of America are dropping the word boy. Don't know if you saw that or not.
So it's just going to be Boy Scouts. No, it's just going to be Scouts of America?
Boy Scouts of America dropping the boy. So yeah. It'll just be, I suppose. Scouts of America. Let's see. The older program, of course, was Scouts BSA, Boy Scouts of America.
Mm-hmm.
Cub Scouts will stay the same because it's kind of gender neutral. But they're changing this because of a marketing necessity to promote inclusiveness. Here's a quote. Mm-hmm. As we enter a new era for our organization, it is important that all youth can see themselves in scouting in every way possible. And this really came about in 2013. They kind of waffled on it, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
2013, when a ban on homosexual scouts was lifted, and then homosexual leaders were welcomed a couple of years later. In 2017, the doors were thrown wide open, and transgender children now can participate. Highland, entertaining the idea years ago of having Boy Scouts meet at our church mm-hmm. building, and that's about maybe a year or two before this actually went into full gear.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that it was going in that direction. Now there's a new group, and we didn't allow them to meet there because we think it would be undermining what we believe. There's a new group for just boys. It's called Trail Life USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Trail Life USA is an outdoor adventure exclusively for boys. I don't know that there's would you call it a troop or a local chapter here? I don't know.
If there is, I don't know of it. I just don't know of one.
Yeah. Well, the Boy Scouts, you know, used to be in the business of teaching boys how to become men.
Absolutely.
To keep themselves physically strong and morally fit.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the exact phrases, if I'm not mistaken.
Of the oath.
Somewhere along the way, the leaders, those in leadership positions
yep.
of the Boy Scouts, and everything rises or falls, Timotheus, as I have told you many, many times on leadership, the Boy Scout leaders lost their moral compass.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And tumbled into an abyss of PC-ism.
PC-ism?
Yeah, political correctness.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm not sure there's a merit badge for that.
There may be coming up.
Yeah.
You never reckon? Can tell. Well, somebody may be saying, well, come on now, preacher. We're just trying to help the kids out. And Boy Scouts of America has always been a good thing. You know, they're teaching good things. Why would we want to... We're supposed to love everybody.
They're undermining the creative order of God. God said, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife.
Mm-hmm.
There was an incident that took place recently in, where was it now? Chicago. Yeah. In Chicago, Illinois, with respect to a first grade teacher.
Okay.
And the first grade teacher... first-year teacher, so that wouldn't make them probably, not necessarily 23, 24, 25, but
more than likely it's going to be
early
20. Yeah, more than likely it's going to be right in that age, right around that age.
And so it was Valentine's Day, and he received a bouquet of flowers.
The male teacher received a bouquet of flowers.
He did.
Okay.
And the kids... Being first graders.
And curious.
Of course.
Yeah.
Ask, well, where did those come from. And his response was, my husband sent those to me for Valentine's Day. And the kid's response was, that husband? Now, first graders don't know a lot about gender equality and all those kinds of things. You just mention any kind of love to them, and they go, yeah.
They're done with it.
They're done with it. But this man's name was Nathan Etter, E-T-T-E-R, Burlington, Illinois, first grade class. And the parents were very upset over it, of course. We've got a light blinking.
Well, that means the phone line is ringing. Let's take a look and see who we've got here. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Hey, good morning, Brother Tim. Tafik Saad calling this morning.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Fine. Good morning, Pastor Jerry.
Good morning, Tafik Saad. How are you?
I'm very blessed. How are you, gentlemen?
We're well this morning. I'm drinking my coffee. I'm going to be better here in just a little bit.
It's a good day already. Then.
About the time we go off the air, I really get wound up. We need more time is what we need.
We need more
Absolutely.
Time. Yeah, we need more time. But the only thing that would make it better is if we played a bluegrass gospel song.
That would make it better, no question about it. I just can't think of a group.
That's icing on the cake.
Good morning, brother. I know you've got something. You always have something really good for us. What have you got for us this morning?
Well, in light of last night's sermon and your discussion this morning, how can we, as a church or a community, whether it be at the city level, municipal level, state level, or even national level, start strategizing to preempt the attack on Christianity or the watering down of 21st century Christianity, as we call it, whether it be Christians on Christians or liberalism on Christians, dumbing down Christianity and walking away from biblical principles? It's something we're recognizing. So my question is, how do we promote that awareness that this is indeed is happening? And two, what do we do about it?
Excellent question. Two-parter. Let's call it a two-parter. How do we combat it? First and foremost, we've got to recognize that we've already lost the culture war. The culture war is lost on a national level.
Now that's a kind of a disparaging thing for Christians.
It is very disparaging, but you've got to present the negative first.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God is near, he had to present a negative view. The Apostle Paul did. Every time he went into a missionary area where he had never been, he presented the lostness of man. Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, he presented how lost they were because they were worshiping other gods. But as Luke records for us in Acts chapter 2, he said, save yourselves.
Mm.
And so what we've got to do is be concerned about not only our humanity around us, but our own humanity, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's to individuals, individual families. That's where we begin. We start right there, and then we try to influence the world, and by the world, I mean that world in our sphere of influence. I have no influence over anybody in Los Angeles, California. I have no influence over anybody in Washington, D.C. But I'd like to think that I have some influence in my own home, my own church, and my own community.
Amen.
Now, what I've got to do is to be active, proactive. We shared the story about the first grade homosexual teacher in Burlington, Illinois, a moment ago. We shared it, talked about it first last night, as you referenced a moment ago, Tafik.
Yeah.
And it starts with us being more active and involved in areas that we have heretofore shied away from because we felt like, and a lot of churches still feel like, we have no business in politics.
Yeah.
But when politics infringe upon God's creative order, it's up to the church to take a stand. Let me reference what we did in, I'm not sure what year it was now, was it 2002, 2003, when the One Man, One Woman campaign was being issued. We carried signs and we walked the streets over on Euclid Avenue. Most people that went by approved of that. They thought a church ought to stand for a husband and wife, one man, one woman for life. I don't know that that would be the case. We got a few disgruntled people who went by and said some negative things, gave us the universal sign of disgust as they drove by.
Maybe they were just telling you you were number one.
They could have been, but I'm not sure. I don't think so. Although they could be right. I don't know about that. But anyway, we took a stand. We took a stand every time that there was a vote in the last 25 years or 30 years maybe on wet dry where the Paintsville should be. Now you say, well, you know, it went wet. It sure did. We lost that. But we took a stand, and we're compared in the Bible to salt.
Mm-hmm.
Salt does not eliminate decay.
No.
Yeah.
It slows it down.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
The world is on a downward spiral. Our country's on a downward spiral. Just a brief comment on prophecy. Someone asked me not long ago, is America mentioned in any of the prophetic utterances in the Bible? And I was saddened to say I haven't read it. I haven't read anything about America in the end times. America has lost, and I'm for motherhood, apple pie, Chevrolet, and baseball. I love all of that. But those are not things that God is interested in.
Mm-hmm.
God is interested in the kingdom of God being advanced by his people known as the body of Christ or the church. That ought to be my number one priority. And I do that in the area in which I have the most influence. I may support missionaries on the mission field, and I may help some brother over in the darkest jungles of Africa. I don't go, but I help it along with my financial contribution. But my main influence is right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I live. This is where I have some credibility. So Christians need to be involved.
Yeah.
Let me take that a step further. Our brother David Bowling at church, David has had a burden for prayer for some time and began a prayer class on Sunday nights in our life groups. And the class has grown slowly, but surely it's growing. A lot of people need to learn to pray.
Mm-hmm.
If I would ask you, Timotheus, if I would say, Timotheus, what's the best known prayer in the Bible?
The Lord's Prayer.
Lord's Prayer.
Most people are going to say the Lord's Prayer.
We memorize that when we're just kids, I suppose, or young in the Christian faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. But I think it's interesting, that prayer that we pray, Matthew 6, 9 through 12, is not found anywhere else in the Bible.
That's it. That's the only place that I know of.
Yeah, Paul never prayed it. Peter never prayed it. So he's not giving us a verbatim prayer that we're to pray it exactly like that. There's nothing wrong with praying it.
Yeah.
But our prayer life needs to be deeper.
Well, to me, it's like an outline of things that we should be praying for, not just kind of, you know.
That's a good way to say it.
Literal. I mean, it's a subject matter in each thing.
Yeah.
That's the way I interpret it.
He's giving us some direction on how we should pray. That's correct. Kind of an outline. Notice, one of the first things he taught us to pray about, I doubt that many people think about.
God's will be done on earth as it is in
heaven. Thy will be done. In other words, he's praying, your kingdom come. That's the main thing. Why is that so important? Because there are only two ways to leave this world, lost or saved. And so my focus ought to be first on the kingdom of God. And David, in his prayer class, is working toward being more involved, our church being more involved with the schools. How best to go about that? We're in the process of trying to find out and talking with the superintendent, both superintendents of Paintsville and Johnson Central, Johnson County Schools. We want to find out what could we do as a church that would help. We know schools need help.
Yeah.
And so maybe we could begin, maybe they would suggest a mentoring program. Could you guys start a mentoring program at your church one afternoon a week? Mm-hmm. I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of things I think we could do. We just haven't been used to doing it.
Yeah.
The things that we read about and talk about that's happening in San Francisco and Los Angeles and all over the place, it's coming here.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no question about it. I was told just recently that at a Christian preschool, on the playground, two little girls were holding hands, and one of them said, "We're going to marry when we grow up."
Mm.
And the teacher paused, took time to talk with both of them, and just simply said, "Now, girls don't marry girls. Girls marry boys, mm-hmm. and boys marry girls." That's God's creative order.
Amen.
But that isn't being taught in public schools.
Yeah.
And in probably a lot of private schools.
Yeah.
So it starts with me, Tufik.
Amen, brother.
And it starts with Timotheus, and it starts with you.
Yeah.
Who can you influence today for Christ, because eternity must be kept in view? Who are you around that's lost today?
Mm-hmm.
I pray every morning. It's my custom to pray every day this prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Help me cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today.
Amen.
So it starts with us. And the church is involved in all kinds of areas in this community. And we just ordained and installed 7 new deacons last Sunday.
Great men, too.
Wonderful men.
Mm-hmm.
Start to say young men. Some of them not so young. But we'll not mention any names.
We'll just
there.
Leave that alone.
Yeah. But they're great men. They're wonderful men. They've got wonderful families. They have children. They have grandchildren. They are concerned about what's going on in this world.
Yes.
And so I think, again, and in conclusion to your question, I hope we've addressed it. We need to know the Bible. We need to have the desire to know the Bible. We need to have a plan to learn more of the Bible, and then, of course, to share it with others. Our hearts need surgery.
Yeah.
We need our hearts transformed. And that's what we're trying to do at Highland.
We can't know God's will unless we read the Bible.
We cannot.
Amen.
We cannot. The prayer we referenced a moment ago talked about, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." God's will is done perfectly
mm-hmm.
in heaven.
Yeah.
But because many believe that that's out yonder somewhere,
doesn't affect us right now.
Yeah, doesn't affect us right now. Then they don't think of the kingdom of God being a reality right now.
Or us being a part of it.
Or us being a part of it and have something to do with it.
Yeah.
We are right now benefiting from living in the kingdom of God here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we have freedom of worry. We have peace. Regardless of what may be going on around us. I've seen people at funeral homes who just lost their spouse, and yet they're rejoicing that the spouse was a Christian, went home to be with God, and that they're going home to meet them soon.
Yeah.
Only Christianity offers that, Tufik. Only Christianity. Now, you grew up in a part of the world where there was no promise like that.
Exactly.
What was the hope of those folks in Lebanon when you were a young teen? What was their hope? Just to survive the day?
Survive the day. If you're not blown up by an IED or someone's brain is not shattered on the sidewalk by a sniper round, that's good.
Mm.
Tell us about, if you don't mind, and if I'm going over here, you tell me. Tell us about the family you took in, the Muslim family that is refugees that your family took in.
When the state of Israel got established in 1948, the Palestinians who fled Palestine, now currently known as Israel, fled to Lebanon because we border Israel in the south. And we accepted those Muslims, refugees, in our homes and communities. We extended to them all the benefits and fringes that any Lebanese citizen had enjoyed. they armed themselves between the years of 1948 to 1975. And then they decided to wage a 15-year-old war against Lebanese Christians. It was not a civil war. There is nothing civil about war.
Right.
It was a war on Christianity. It was a religious cleansing to kill all the Lebanese Christians in Lebanon and make Lebanon a homeland for the Palestinian refugees.
Right.
So I cringe when I hear the term of a refugee, because there is nothing that came out of accepting the Palestinians and refugees in Lebanon other than a 15-year-old war that killed many Christians. And the rest of us who did not got killed and slaughtered and beheaded and raped and murdered and sold as sex slaves, we migrated elsewhere. And if it weren't for America, if it weren't for Israel, who came to the aid of our Lebanese Christians, all of us, we would be completely annihilated.
Mm.
So thank you to the United States of America, and thank
Amen.
You to the pursuit of fundamental human rights, and thank you to Israel for safeguarding the Lebanese Christians.
Lebanon was a large percentage of the population in Lebanon were Christians, right?
We used to be.
Yeah.
And then due to the exodus of Lebanese Christians after the war, which ended in 1990, and the rest who got murdered and slaughtered, and due to the high birth of Muslim in the Muslim communities,
right.
And so now the Muslims are predominantly more than the Christians. I think now we're about probably 65-35%.
I think you're probably right. Last night I commented to you as you were leaving that if we had gone through some of what you had gone through, those of us who have been born in this country, have been raised here, and who take it for granted, we wouldn't take it for granted nearly as much if we had gone through what you've experienced.
We take a lot of things for granted, and one of the proudest moments of my life is when I became an American in October of 1997. Because I know as I migrated to the U.S. in August of 1981, I knew what I wanted to go is someplace where I can live in peace.
Amen.
Where there is a chance for me to pursue the American dream and to grow and live in prosperity, and where the opportunities are unlimited. All I needed is to believe in myself, believe in God, work hard, and anything is attainable.
Absolutely.
And for a lot of folks, these things are taken for granted. But no country on earth, and I've been in a lot of places on the face of this earth, no place, and this, when people say this is the greatest country on earth,
yes.
Please believe it, because till you live elsewhere, you do not
Bless
know exactly
heart.
what you've got right here at your fingertips
Bless
and what,
your heart.
What you're living for.
Do you think, though, that the way the country is going now, and we do have a lot of wonderful things, but you were talking about the Muslim population, you know, taking over Lebanon. Do you see some similarities with the U.S. now?
It's sneaking up on us. I have no problem cohabitating with anybody from any religion under any circumstances. The problem begins when those folks wanted to enforce their way of life and their way of thinking on you, and they believe, if you don't believe what they believe, they have the right to behead you. That's what I have a problem with.
That is the ultimate legalist.
Amen.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother, we appreciate you so much, Tufik.
I appreciate you. And
thanks,
God bless you both. Thank
bless
you so much
heart.
For answering my questions.
You're welcome.
Lord willing, I will see you Sunday
Amen.
Morning.
Amen. Amen. We love you,
God
brother.
Bless.
Take care.
Love you too, my brothers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we need more time to mow this.
We need more time. But I wanted to say real quick, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. If we need to go over a minute, that's okay. But I can't get this off my mind that you were talking about we need to take a stand. It's because of our forefathers that
Absolutely.
Took a stand.
Absolutely.
Is that we have the liberty that Tufik just said. If we want our generations, our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to have what we have, we better take a stand now.
And if we don't believe that God will destroy us, we just need to study the Old Testament history of Israel. In 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against Israel and destroyed it, tore
mm-hmm.
it down,
mm-hmm.
took them away captive. And God loved Israel. God said in his Old Testament a book that there was no other nation on the earth that God chose except the nation of Israel to be his people.
Mm.
He didn't choose us. We were grafted in. We were a wild olive branch. And
yep.
he graciously took us in. But his love for Israel did not stop him from disciplining her. and it will not stop him from disciplining us.
The Bible says that the Lord disciplines those that he loves.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Folks, we'd like to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View presented by the Highland Church of Christ. And we'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We'd like for you to come and be with us at the Highland Church of Christ. And again, thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.